Well, so I'm looking at Genesis chapter 22. We're looking at Isaac and all that God used him in life for. As you find your place there in Genesis chapter number 22, we'll get started. I did hear this story about this pastor that he was baptizing somebody, and we're getting ready. Lord willing, we might baptize somebody next week. We're going to be ready. But he was baptizing somebody, and he got mixed up a little bit. And, you know, as the pastor usually says, the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, and he dunked him down. And as he dunked him down, he got confused on the words he's supposed to say. And as he dunked him down, he said, "Now drink ye all of it." But us pastors, we have a hard job. We got to say the right thing at the right time. So that was the wrong thing at that time. In Genesis 22, verse number 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and laid some things before him and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Look over, if you will, we'll start there, and then we'll look over verse number 11. You know the story that he takes Isaac up the mountain, and God is letting him show that he's going to trust God in this. In verse number 11, "The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." And I want to preach a little while about this, just some lessons learned from Isaac. And Abraham is laying his Isaac down, his son there. And Isaac was that promised child that was born of Abraham and Sarah. You know that Abraham was old when Isaac was born, and Abraham and Sarah had a carnal plan to get a child and wasn't blessed of God. But of course, they followed God in the other way as well. And he was 100 when Isaac was born. And so you get this picture here that Isaac is his prized son, his wonderful blessing. And Abraham is this grizzled veteran for God. He's done a lot. He's seen what God can do. He's walked faithfully most of the years of his life. And now he has the fight of his life, because it's not some battle that he's going to have to be, not at least outwardly. It's not some hardship in that way. But the fight of his life is going to be to follow God and take his son up to the mountain. This is the hardest decision that he's ever had to make in his life, harder than even when he sent Ishmael away, and that was hard on him. But he's looking at this difficult decision, and how long he takes, I'm not certain. But I want to look at a few lessons we learn from Isaac and from Abraham, and as Abraham takes him there, and trust it's a blessing to you. I want you to turn back, if you would, to what verse, chapter 21, rather, verse number 1. And I want you to do this, because I want you to see this first lesson that I'd like for us to learn tonight. And we see in verse number 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I want you to think about this first of all, that Abraham figured out that all that we have is God's. There's only one reason why that old man had a son. And it wasn't the reason you think, well, that's just natural, that's just things that happen. But remember, they were past natural childbearing years. It wasn't with them in the time to have children. That had already passed in them. And so God had done a great work in the life of Abraham and Sarah, and had given her a son out of due season, out of the time when she should have been able to have one, but God allowed her to conceive, and then she brought forth that son. And it was the time that God, as the Bible says in verse 2, had spoken to him. And so we see that Abraham, of all the other people, sometimes folks just assume that the families will come, but families don't always come. You understand that they're all a gift from the Lord. The Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. And so we understand that Abraham, above anybody else in Scripture, would have known that all he had was God's. All that he had was God's. And when Abraham was told by God to take thy son, the only son, Isaac, up there, God wanted Abraham to obey God with what he had given him in the very first place, because Abraham wouldn't have been in this spot. And sometimes when you think that difficulties are in your life and you're saying, I don't know why I have to make these decisions, and I don't know why I'm called upon to make this great dedication, can I remind you to go back before those blessings were even in your life, that you had the decision to make to give it to the Lord, that the Lord is the one that gave it. And as Job said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And so can I remind you, before we start complaining about what God has allowed us to go through, it is true that every blessing, every good, and every perfect gift cometh down from above. And before we start complaining about what God took from us, we might want to stop and thank him for how long he gave it to us in the very first place. I've spent much time at funerals, you know that, at the gravesides and at funeral homes, and I've certainly been blessed to watch good Christian folks when they say, I'm not going to complain about God taking my loved one. I'm going to thank him for the years that I had. I'm thinking about this on a very practical level. My pastor retired from his position as pastor just earlier this year, just in March, and I went over on March the 2nd in the evening, and that means he's not going to pastor. He's not going to do what God has called him to do for that season of his life, and that was his passion, and if anybody lived it and ate it and breathed it and slept it and drank it in, it was him. And so that pastor of mine is changing something, but he had to come to a place where he realized it was God's that he gave it to him. It was God's that he was going to have to step aside and let somebody else come in that happens to be his son, but he had to let God use him for a season and then step aside. Preacher Lastly pastored this church so well from 1963 to 2009, and then Brother Jody Jenkins after that. Each of them took their part, but I'm thinking about Preacher Lastly in 2009, after almost 50 years of pastoring this church, standing in this building, standing in that building, standing in the other building, proclaiming the word of God, and that was a part of your life, that was your life, and that made you who you are, following the Lord, you had to step aside and say, the Lord's will be done. God wanted me to assume that position for a while, but now God wants me to step aside. And I'm not trying to do anything harmful to Scripture as we look at Isaac and we look at Abraham. And Abraham said to God, or said as if he were saying to God, God, you gave this boy to me, so I must be faithful to give him back. Isn't that what Hannah said? Hannah said, Lord, we beg for a child. We pray for a child. For this child we prayed. And then she took him and delivered him and lent him to the Lord for as long as he would live. And so we understand that all that we have is God's. I'm thinking about this. I was listening about a young person this week that we know that had made a decision in a relationship. We're going to have to call some quits on some things. And that's very difficult in the young person's life, to give that area of relationships up. Because all of us think we know what we're doing. We're about like the one fellow that says, I spent at 20, I cared about what everybody thought. And when it got to 40, I said, I don't care what anybody thought. And then when I got to 60, I realized nobody was thinking at all about me. And so, but we all think that we have it all figured out. And we want to live in such a way that people don't think ill of us. And again, sometimes they're not thinking of us at all. But when a young person says, I'm going to step away, I was thinking, I think I gave the wrong name this morning for somebody getting engaged. But I'm thinking about people getting engaged and people entering into that phase of their life. We think we've got it all taken care of. But can I remind every young person in here, middle age, whatever age you are, that you ought to give that area of your life to God and say, God, your will be done, because you can make a mess of it quicker than you can even imagine when you try to take the reins and say, I know what I'm doing. Take it from some other folks in this room. They thought they knew what they were doing as well, and it didn't turn out that way. They realized that they should have followed the Lord. The Bible says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And what Abraham was trying to do, he was realizing that all that he had was God's. And so Isaac was his before he took him up the mountain. Isaac was his as he was taking him up the mountain. Isaac was his on top of the mountain. And then when, praise the Lord, Abraham came back down with Isaac, he was still God's. And so I think about this. Everything that you have is the Lord's. Brother Will was talking about talents and singing, or lack thereof. Everything you have is a gift from the Lord. That's why I'd love to have everybody, if your schedule would allow it and you've got some ability to sing, you should talk to Daniel about singing in the choir, about getting involved in special music, because everything you've got is a gift from God. And I always operate under this: if God's given you something, then you ought to use it for him. Find a way, because one of these days God may say, if you're not going to use it, I'll just rescind it. And so I realize that all that we do, we ought to honor God, but realize that every gift that we have comes from Him. I'm thinking about this. It's like a parent when they go into their kid's room and their kid is in there on the bed or sitting at the chair and they say, "May I come in?" You understand that's just a formality. Dad's paying the mortgage. Mom is paying the mortgage or already has paid the mortgage. They're paying the bills. They're paying the electric. They paid for everything in there. They don't have to ask to come in. It's just them being kind. And when God moves upon our hearts to ask us, to lead us, to move us, to do something to serve Him. Maybe in one of those kids' classes that Kyle needs help in so bad right now. Maybe it's in one of those classes and God has moved upon your heart to go talk to Kyle and say, "I'd like to help in that." Well, can I just remind you that that's just a kindness, that God doesn't have to do it like that. He just moves upon us in that still small voice in a very kind and loving way. But He could be like a parent that says, "This is my room. I'll come in as I choose to." I want you to remember that all that we have is God's. Now back to our text where we're at in 22. That you're in chapter 21 there, but we're back in 22. I want you to see this in verse number 12 that we read. And He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon unto him. For now I know that thou fearest the Lord," fearest God. Not only is we realize that all we have is God's, but also I want you to realize this. God wanted Abraham, not Isaac. In the whole story that we have here, it wasn't so much that God wanted Abraham to send Isaac on to glory. God wanted Abraham to trust God even with his most valuable possession, if you look at it that way. He wanted Abraham to fully trust in Him. Look at what He says in the middle of verse number 12 as the angel is giving this message to him. He said in verse 12, "The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham." Verse 12, He said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad." He says there in the middle, "For now I know that thou fearest God." And how did he know that? "Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And I wonder sometimes about the lesson that Abraham learned. He learned that nothing, not even a child, should come between you and God. I wouldn't give the stories, but people in this room could give stories, as I could as well, for people that have prayed for little ones, and then little ones have come into their home, and they desperately asked the Lord, and then when those little ones got up a little bit of age, those parents allowed those little ones to drive a wedge between the parents and God, and those parents, or those children rather, were used to get the parents away from church and away from God and away from what they had prayed. Many parents have prayed like Hannah, "Lord, give us him, we'll give him back to you." But then when they actually got in their home, when God actually did answer those prayers, then those people don't raise him for the Lord. I was speaking to a group down at BIM. I was speaking with a group. We were in a meeting and we were talking about how different parents, grandparents, can have a great sway over their children. And they can have that for good or they can have that for bad. They can encourage those children to find out what all God wants in your life. If that's a mission field in Africa, then go. But those same parents or those same grandparents can also pull those children away from what God wants them to do and challenge them to look at some lucrative career here in the States so they can stay here and live down the street from where mom and dad live. And who wouldn't love that? But I can remind you, as has always been said, the safest place for your children to be is in the center of God's will. If that's across the world or across the street, that's fine, either one. But we certainly shouldn't steer children away from what God wants them to do. But I'm reminding you of what we find out about Abraham, and that is that God didn't want Isaac as much as God wanted Abraham. And sometimes we realize that He doesn't want our children or our grandchildren to follow Him as He does. But He also first wants us to trust God with our children. I read of a story. There's several stories out there on the internet, and some have more validity, it seems like, than others. But I read of several stories of people that were buried in their cars. They love their vehicles so much, most of them in other countries, but some here in the States as well. But they love their vehicles so much. One that was there behind the wheel with his hands with his hands on the wheel and buried in that old car that he had loved so much. Whether all those stories are true, I'm sure they aren't. But somebody said that they watched one of those burials with somebody in a car, and they said, "Wow, man, that's living." Now think about that for a minute. He's dead in the car. The guy watching that is alive says, now that's living. That's dying. Just because you had an expensive coffin doesn't mean you're any more alive than if you'd had no coffin at all. It's been said different times that about some old fella that was very, very wealthy, and people were wondering how much he left. And that was the talk back and forth around the time when he died there at the funeral. How much did he leave? And somebody very astutely said, he left it all. Because you did leave it all. I'm saying this evening that we find from Abraham and Isaac when that angel gives out the call to him, says, Abraham, Abraham, and stops him and says, well, I understand that you fear God. How do I know that? Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, Isaac. That possession, that relationship, that life, that talent, that ability, whatever it is, everything that you have, my friend, is God's. But God would want you to hold it just like you do with your bank account, with your palms up to say, Lord, everything that I have is yours. My Isaac is yours. My talent is yours. My ability is yours. My finances are yours. My relationship is yours. My life is yours. Sometimes we say that, well, to a young person, Kyle is getting ready to take the young people to camp, and I want all of us to pray for that. But sometimes we'll say, well, what do you think God's will is for your life? One preacher put it like this. It ought to be instead said this way. What I ought to just live my life for God's will, whatever it is. But we'd have to give up our own will to live God's will. In your relationship, in your 16-year-old body, in your desires and objectives you have in life, you'd have to give up what you wanted and give it all along or give it all over to God. God knew all along what he was going to do. Somebody says, they say, well, how could God ask Abraham to do that? God knew what he was going to do. He could have stopped Abraham at any time. He could have, he has the ability to do whatever. So God knew what he was going to do. But what he was doing was finding out how much Abraham was going to trust him. And one pastor put it like this, as God saw Abraham coming up one side, he had a ram coming up the other side. And all God was doing was up on top directing traffic, bringing Abraham up a little bit and bringing this ram up, bringing this ram up because he was going to have a meet up there, and God knew what he was going to do. But God wanted Abraham, not Isaac. Let me give you this last one in verse number 17. And I know we're not going expositorily through this passage, but I trust it's a blessing to you. Verse number 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You know, all these promises God's pouring on to Abraham. Verse 18 at the end, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I give you this last lesson from Isaac and Abraham, and that is that joy comes after surrender. Joy comes after surrender. I was at Tennessee Temple University, and so a distinctively Christian university. That was their slogan, or that was their underneath their title. And at Tennessee Temple University, distinctively Christian, there was a boy that had a little Ford Ranger pickup truck, and on there he was from close to where I was in Charleston, which is right below where I lived. And he had this license plate on the front said FM 105. Well, FM 105 was the hard rock station. Well, I'd listen to it, but I knew what it was. It was the one that they'd say, turn it up and rip off the dial. And so it was the hard rock station, but nobody in Chattanooga, Tennessee knew that because that was from all the way up there. And I'm certain that he thought he was getting away with something, and I don't know whether he ever got found out or not, which then would have been nothing they could do just from having the license plate on there. But I thought how much nervous energy it might cause a person to have when they trying to get something over on administration. It'd be about the same way with a teenager in home. Now it's so much harder for parents to figure out what young people are listening to. It used to be you had to have an actual young people. There used to be this thing called a cassette tape. It was about this big. And you actually had to have a tape if you were a teenager and you wanted to listen to some music you ought not be listening to or something that your parents didn't approve of. It was a lot harder back then than maybe it is now. But the principle is still the same. Whenever you're doing something that your parents say that's not allowed in our house, then you always have this nervousness about you. But can I tell you the happiest way to live is to live your life open, wide open, before everybody in authority in your life. Just not to have secrets, not to be doing something that you're not supposed to be doing, not to be engaged. If your parents have said, I'd rather you not hang around, whoever who that is, the best way for the calmest way to live is you to live wide open and just say, you know about my relationships, you know who I'm hanging out with, is not for you to be trying to say, I'm going over there and then trying to finagle around that I'm going to go over there, but then I'm going to go do something else and mom doesn't have to know that. If your mom's a smart one, she's got Life 360 or whatever one of those apps are anyway, she knows where you are faster than you do probably. But the calmest way to live is just live your life open. I try to, as the pastor of this church, I want to people to know where I am and what I'm doing, because I don't want to get to a place where I have to step down from what I'm doing because of getting in wickedness. And so I love it. My wife has access to everything that I have, and people here at the church do as well. I want it that way because I realize that the happiest life is a surrendered life to God's will. And the happiest life for a teenager is a life that's surrendered to the Lord's will, not trying to have any deceit. And then the happiest life in Abraham, or happiest way for Abraham to live, as it says in verse number 18, that through thee, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Joy comes after surrender. So I should have been on schedule, that is, over here in 2 Peter. You knew we were going to take the next section of that, and I won't do it next week because Brother Snyder will be here, but I just felt like I should be in this passage tonight and show these lessons that are learned from Isaac. I've preached, not this message, but I've preached about this topic before, but such a great truth with Abraham just giving everything that was dear and near to his heart over to God. But God gave it to him to begin with. But sometimes we act like we are more cautious and careful and we're more concerned about the things that we have than God is. But remember, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, the Bible says. So if we've got something, it's worth anything. If it is a good gift, if it is a perfect gift, if it's worth anything at all, it didn't originate with us. It came from God anyways. And so how foolish we are when we pull it in and say, God, I don't know if I can trust you with it. He's the one that gave it to begin with. And the most blessed and happy and rejoicing way to live is just to say, Lord, everything I have is yours. My Isaac is yours. Our three children, Jared, our oldest, he's our firstborn, and then Maddie, you know, our redhead, and we love each of them. And Allie, our one that we picked up in Nashville, she's our Southern Baptist. She was born in the Baptist Hospital in Nashville. All three of them, we tried to give them back to the Lord and say, Lord, they're yours. We wanted them. But just because you want them doesn't mean you get them. But God saw fit to bless our home with them. And so we certainly didn't want to pull them back in and say, okay, God, you've gave them now. We're not giving them back. You know, that's a dangerous position for a person to be in. And so I love the story of Abraham. I love the story of Isaac. And I just have to ask, are you laying your Isaac down? Is there a relationship that you would really get, God would keep his hands off of? You have a desire, you have a plan for your life, you have an agenda, you have a goal, you have a something that you don't want God to mess up. Doesn't that sound odd when you say it out loud? God, I've got this all planned out. I know what I'm doing. But our little finite minds can't know everything that God knows, and so really God knows what he's doing. And the best thing that I can do is lay Isaac down. And wait for him to call to say, because of your obedience. Is there anything tonight that's keeping you from having sweet peace in your life? Let me put it this way. You'll go to bed here in just a little bit. As you lay your head down at night, tonight, is there anything that God's going to bring to mind that you ought to take care of? If there is, I'm going to challenge you to get it right with him, whatever it is, if it's something that you're holding on to that you ought to release. If there's something that you ought to be doing and God's been nudging you, but you haven't stepped forward, then I'm going to challenge you to make a decision tonight. I'm going to do it. Put a timeline on it. By Tuesday, I'm going to call that person. I'm going to talk to Kyle after church. I'm going to talk to so-and-so after church and tell him something. Whatever it is in your mind, I challenge you to make a promise to God. If there's something that you're holding on to, if there's something you're involved in in your life and you just won't give it up, it's not right. God's already convicted you of it, but you still hold on to it. My friend, I'm asking you this evening just to let it go. Give it to the Lord. I'm going to ask our ladies to come to the instruments if they would. And as they come and they find their place to play, and whenever they get there, they can start playing. Brother Daniel, I'm going to have him come on up here. And if you need somebody to pray with, I'll have Brother Kyle come down as well. And we'll be here. If you'd like to pray with one of us or share something that you'd like for us to labor in prayer with you about, we'll be glad to do that. Maybe you just like to come pray by yourself. I don't care. Maybe you want to make an altar out of your pew right there. That's fine as well. But I'm just challenging you. Abraham had the great struggle. Lord, that can't be what you want me to do. Yet he did it. Took Isaac up that mountain, laid him down, ready for God to do something. And I trust that if God's dealing with your heart, you'd lay your Isaac down as well. Whatever you're holding on to, see the Lord work. If you're able to, stand together with us so folks can get out a little bit easier. Brother Kyle's down here. Brother Daniel's down here. If you need somebody to pray with, any of the leadership will be around. But maybe just like to come and give something to God. Just some lessons from Isaac and Abraham. I'll just have them continue to play, and if God's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. One last invitation item, and that is maybe you're here and you're not saved. I never like to stop a service without giving invitation for you to come, and let us show you from the scriptures how you can be sure Christ is your Savior. Your sins are forgiven. All of us are, we've sinned and come short of the glory of God on the road to a devil's hell, but you need to come to a place where you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to him before it's eternally too late. You need to be saved. You come tonight. Father, thank you for this time to be in your house. What a joy, dear Lord. Thank you for the lessons from Abraham and Isaac. And this is a simple message, but I trust it was the one you wanted given tonight. And I pray, dear Lord, that we wouldn't hold things back from you. Shame on us, dear Lord. Silly of us. And I pray that we wouldn't. Lord, I ask you to be with our church as we go forward this week. And folks, I want to give you this prayer request. Lord, we pray for Ben Tackett's brother, Brandon, having double bypass surgery tonight. As far as I know, he's unsaved. And Lord, we pray for his brother that he'd be saved. I pray you'd protect him through this surgery and let him be saved afterwards. Pray for Pam's mom as well. She's having surgery tomorrow. Dear Lord, bless them as they go. But Lord, we also pray that you would help each and every one of our church family out and about this week. May we, dear Lord, live our lives in such a way that would please you, honor you, and glorify you. Lord, I don't want to get to the end of this whenever our time to go is, and then be thinking that we should have, could have, would have. Lord, help us to do it this week, to live the way we ought to, we pray. We'll thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and get us ready to sing a going home song. We'll sing I'll Fly Away, that song we sang first. If you get that back up on the screens, and we'll sing I'll Fly Away. And we'll use that as our going home song. Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If you need anything from us, we'll certainly be glad to help in a way. If you're a guest with us tonight, thank you for being here. There's a connect card right in front of you in that pew back. If you didn't care to fill that out, we'll be back in the lobby. We'll drop it by the guest services. We've got a gift for you. But why don't you be praying for that car show? Pray God give us good weather. Pray for Saturday. We have an outreach Saturday at 9:30. If you can come out this Saturday to go around in this area, we'll be taking Bible school flyers out, just blanketing areas, easy as it can be. We'll get the word out about Bible school. If you can come out and give us 40 minutes or so, we'll feed you, and then we'll go out and take about 40 minutes and blanket some areas with Bible school flyers. So thank you for being in church. Let's sing together.
Somebody.